with you about how we do these things that Jesus just talked about. And this is really a continuation of the gospel from last week, where it's all one sort of long thing that Jesus said. And you remember last week we were looking at you are the light of the world and what that meant. And what I want to do is put it in that kind of context, because Jesus also said that you know, by your good works, people will see your good works, and by that they will glorify your Father in heaven. I'm more scared of that than this other gospel that we just read, actually, and for a number of reasons. And just to be really transparent and open, I have a default position, and I think maybe many of you have the same one. And I have a legalistic reaction to much of what Jesus says very often. And I've heard some of you actually have the same legalistic reaction. Whenever we're talking about what it is that Jesus wants us to do, the challenge to follow him and imitate his life, as we just sang a moment ago, my first reaction is usually, well, how am I going to do that? And I've shared with some of you on Sunday mornings and in other situations, for example, I've shared with you about the Sabbath, you know, keeping the Sabbath. And the first, I can't think of a time when the first question was not, well, how am I going to do that? there's many, many other things like that. It's almost always my first reaction. Very legalist. And for those of you who are Baptists, I know you're beginning to feel more comfortable as I use that word, legalistic, over and over again. But it's true. That's where the legalism is. And it really is me trying to figure out how on my own power I can do what Jesus asked me to do. And then I need to do that the same way every time. The difficulty, as you have discovered, is that it doesn't even work the first time that we try to do that. And just think of any challenge that Jesus gives you. And the first reaction is almost always going to be, how am I going to do that? And when we look at what Jesus said today, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, chop off your hand, all of these things, you know, how am I going to do that? And it's all within, I think, the context of that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, when I am thinking about that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, I have a legalistic response. How am I going to be a good enough Christian so that other people who don't care a thing about church are actually going to start glorifying the Father when they see me? How am I going to do that? I guess no one is raising their hand and saying, oh, I know. Well, it really goes to what we think good works are. And good works, as Jesus is opening them up to us, and showing us both the positive and the negative, what they are and what they are not. Good works are this. It is you doing what you see the Father doing. It is joining in with what God is already doing. You might recall Jesus said at one point, I only do what I see the Father doing. That's good works. For us to imitate Christ means that we imitate that process. And that process is we begin seeing what the Father is doing, and then we join in. And the only way we'll see what the Father is doing is by the power of the Holy Spirit, by his grace. And then once we see them, the only way we'll actually join in with what the Father is doing is by the power of the Holy Spirit, by his grace. Am I saying, you might be thinking, I'm not going to be able on my own power to see what the Father is doing and then join in? Yes, I am. That's exactly what I'm saying. We can't do that just on our own. That's why every time we see something that the Father is doing and feel that tug from the Spirit to join in, the first response is, well, how am I going to do that? And the answer, the releasing answer is, you're not. He's going to do it through you and in you. And that's what you're doing. That's what the good works are about. That's how they operate. That's how we join in. And that's what Jesus is really calling us to do. So how do we actually start going down that path where we live in such a manner that people see those good works and then glorify the Father which is in heaven? Well, you might recall that last week we were saying you are the light of the world, and you might recall that a light is not something that you turn on so that everything will come to you. And you might remember, as Jerry and you and I get up for various reasons in the middle of the night and turn on the flashlight, I don't expect things in the room to come to where I am. I use the light to get to where I need to go at that point. And we turn on our light, the light of Christ, shining enough where we are the light of the world, so that we see the way to where God is already at work. That's where we need to go. So we go that way. Then when we get there, we see what he's doing and we join in with that. And most of that is happening out in the world, somewhere, some way, somehow. And when we think of that, here comes my legalistic reaction again. Well, if it's not in church and they're not singing these wonderful songs and going along with what we go along with, they're just out there not caring about God, but God's already at work in them, how am I going to join in with that? And that's where God opens that door. He begins opening up what he desires through your life. And those good works are actually and specifically and explicitly what you and I were created to do. You may recall Ephesians 2:10. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. For you are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for you to do. The Message, you know, that wonderful Eugene Peterson translation says, you are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he is beginning and you are joining him. In other words, the very purpose of your life is expressed through seeing what God is doing and joining in with him. That's good works. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how am I going to do that? I thought the purpose of my life was something else that I chose or whatever. And yes, it is. You choose to go in with the works that God has for you. And you choose to, when you go into Christ Jesus and follow him and imitate him, you're going along into those works. You're asking him to open your eyes to what he is doing. Or as we're going to sing in a minute, to open the eyes of your heart to see what God is doing, what he's accomplishing in the world, so that you can go ahead and join in with that. Just to make sure I've been transparent enough, I am personally never, ever going to be able on my own power to do good works to such a degree that other people will glorify God. I'm not going to be able to keep the Sabbath in the way that we've talked about from time to time. I just can't on my own power. But when I'm stepping into him, that's where I'm going. I'm able to imitate him. Now, how do you know what's happening with that? How do you know when you're stepping out into the works? God bless you, woman. It's like this. What is it that you absolutely, deeply, really care about? If there was one thing, and that's all you had, just one shot at it, to change something, what would it be? That answer is what God created you to do. That's from God. That opens the door to the works of God. That opens the door to you imitating Jesus. It opens the door to you doing the good works that cause other people to see God. Now let me take some more. Because you might be agitated about something right now, and if I could change that, that would be it. And then it's changed, and you know, that wasn't quite it. It's what's really under, what you really care about. And that, as you go along with that, that's the pathway to those good works. Now, the question, I think, if I may be even a little bit more colloquial, would that be all right? Thank you. How does that dog hunt? That's the question. You've got your handle on what you care about. You are clear about if there's one thing that could change, this is it. You're beginning to sense that's from God, the Spirit of God. It keeps having that bubble up. Your disciplines of prayer and whatever it may be continually circles you back to that sooner or later. You've got that. So how does that hunt? The first thing is, it's together. It's always together. So if you care about something and you know what it is and that's what you want to do and you think God is opening that up to you, there is something that I think that you can absolutely be certain of. There's other people who care about the same thing. When God brings you together, that's the team. That's the group that starts investing into each other's success as well as reaching that particular goal, pursuing that desire that God's placed on your heart. There are examples of that all throughout the scriptures and Christian history. Patrick of Ireland, for example, that day's coming up pretty soon, by the way. Did you know that? is someone who would take a group to an Irish village. They would move in, start working, building houses, getting jobs, whatever, just living in that village and living in a manner that displayed Jesus. In other words, they cared. They cared about those people, and they leaned on the Spirit of God to live in a way that Jesus became open and plausible to them. And from there, people started believing. And the church in that village would grow. And then another group from that village would then go to another one. And it was all that flame, that desire, that God-given motive, that peace that you care about, and you can't let go of. And follow that with those who cared about the same thing. And you're starting to show the good works. Now the downside of that is that to go it alone means that it will fail. Now you are probably a very strong person and will be able to carry it on for years, but eventually it's just going to it's going to fall. It needs a group to do it. As you probably heard other preachers say from time to time, the Lone Ranger even had Tonto. He was not alone either. No reason for us to think, wow, I care about this. I want this to change like nothing else. God must be sending me, and off you go. Then we got to go out and find you and take you back, because Where we go from to go out to do this work is the family table. This one. Where we connect with that story. And when we connect with that story, we begin to see who we are. And we begin to see what we care about. And we begin to see what God would have us do and that purpose for our life. And we begin then stepping out into it. So those are the two means of that. One is what you really care about, and the other is who else cares about that. You start getting a handle on those two things. And you are hearing directly from God. And then you're seeing God through each other in a way that you don't as deeply otherwise. And it would be a smaller group than all the Christians you know, but if you get it, since it was up, there's into that fellowship, out of that, you start going out into what he has prepared. All of that is holy ground. And do you remember what God said to Moses when he was approaching the burning bush?
Take your shoes off.
Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. I've told you this before, haven't I?
I've told you.
Okay, yeah. You know why we take off your shoes? It wasn't because we were worried about the ground getting dirty. Because there was no DSW shoe store in that day. And you didn't go just buy a pair of shoes. You made your own. And they represented what you did. They represented your power, your ingenuity, your creativity. And God was saying, Moses, what I'm asking you to do, because I know you care about the Hebrew people. I saw you kill that man 40 years ago who was abusing your country. I know if you could change anything, it would get that out of there. I'm going to give you what you need to do that. I gave you that desire. Take off your shoes. Nothing that you bring is going to do that. I'm going to give it all to you. That's how it works. And you begin catching that desire. You begin seeing it echo in the hearts of other people. You begin getting a grasp of who that might actually benefit. You're on holy ground. And start saying to God, whatever you give me for that is how I want to do it. Guide me. Let me hear it through other people as well as from you so we can go in the direction that you've set. Some of those odd things you may have been hearing in your dreams, the middle of the night, wherever it is. You say, boy, that was odd. That could be the Spirit of God bringing out that desire so he can lead you into it. So my immediate pastoral advice to you today is to not go chopping off your hands or plucking out your eyes or anything like that. Take off the shoes of your soul and stand on the holy ground so he can send you from that place. Please stand. Encourage you when thoughts start coming across your mind about what you care about, the feelings, the emotions, whatever it may be, just to turn that to God and say, is that from you? Lord, that you would draw us even now, and for everything that is from you, we can return it to you and follow you in it for the glory of your name.
Amen.